Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's April 13th, 2018 program. Eugene, City Auditor, independent and elected by the people or appointed by the City Council. This is the 27th program in our 2017-2018 programming year. I'm Sandra Bishop, City Club President. Today, the City Club welcomes two speakers representing two different ballot measures for the city auditor. So I'll have our program coordinator, Juan Carlos Valle, will be introducing those later, so I won't spend time talking about that. If you enjoy listening to City Club programs, even if you're not able to attend in person, you can support City Club by becoming a member or checking out other ways to contribute at cityclubofeugene.org. And now I'd like to thank our program coordinators. Evan Reese is one of our board members and helped coordinate the program, and also Juan Carlos Valle. So I'd like to turn it over to Juan Carlos to introduce the program. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, we are sure in for a program that is going to be discussed throughout in our community. This program features two ballots regarding a city auditor. The city of Eugene, like any other local governments, aims to find ways to be efficient, effective, and accountable to us taxpayers and to see where our money goes. Needless to say, the need for a city auditor is not new to this conversation. And in the foreseeable future, and depending on what the voters decide, we may or may not have a city auditor. This topic has been in the news quite a bit, rightfully so, because it has generated a lot of interest in our city. One version is an independent auditor elected by the people, and the other is a city council appointed auditor. This forum, of course, promises to be fully informative with a lively question and answer section. So each panelist will describe the ballot and offer details about the ballot and why it is a good ballot to support. I would also like to thank Evan Reese for your help coordinating this program. And to the campaigns of the ballots, thank you for responding so very quickly and your interest in being a part of this. I would like to introduce our moderator, Tiffany Eckert. And she has actually been helping us for quite a bit of these forums. She has been at KLCC for about 10 years, and she is an award-winning journalist. And we are just pleased to have you moderate our program. She is going to introduce the format and also going to introduce the speakers. Please help me welcome Tiffany Eckert.
Thank you, Juan Carlos. I am Tiffany Eckert. I'm a reporter with KLCC Public Radio. Thanks for joining us at this community forum today. We will be discussing the two measures on the May ballot for a Eugene City Auditor. Today's format will include 15-minute opening statements from each speaker. If you speakers prefer to take less time, it's your prerogative. We will take questions from the audience, and each speaker will have 1 minute to answer your questions. Timekeeper Paul will keep you on track. Members of the audience, you will find cards on your table. Please write a question legibly and raise your card in the air, and someone will come by to pick it up. Closing statements will be 2 minutes each. I have the bios written by the speakers that I'd like to read to you now, and the speakers will go in alphabetical order, starting with Bonnie Bettman-McCornack. Bonnie previously served as Eugene City Councilor from 2000 through 2009 and spent years as a city volunteer and neighborhood association leader. She's a retired registered nurse and mom of 2 grown children and 2 ridiculously adorable grandchildren. During her tenure as an elected official, Bonnie served on many Eugene and multi-jurisdictional boards and committees, including police commissioner, Commission, Human Rights Commission, Human Services Commission, Council Committee on Homelessness and Youth, Metropolitan Policy Committee, Metropolitan Wastewater Commission, Intergovernmental Relations Committee, Budget Committee, Council Subcommittee on Street Maintenance, and the Rates Advisory Committee, Reviewing Systems Development Changes. She was formerly a founding member of Citizens for Public Accountability and served as treasurer for Friends of Eugene. In addition to council obligations, Bonnie led and prevailed in a number of campaigns in addition to her two campaigns for office. These included two charter amendment campaigns for the police auditor and civilian review board. The campaign against the taxpayer-subsidized lifestyle mall for the Downtown Urban Renewal District. After leaving office, she organized and helped lead the campaign against the regressive and duplicitous city service fee. At present, she is one of the chief petitioners for the successful Citizens Initiative petition, which put ballot measure 2283 to establish an office of an elected independent city auditor on the May ballot. Breathing. Josh Scove. Josh Scove is a local activist and volunteer with a record of advancing ambitious community goals and pushing for government accountability. He served on boards and commissions advising the City of Eugene, Eugene Water and Electric Board, and Lane Transit District, and was a founding member and chair of the City's Sustainability Commission. In 2016, he received 49% of the vote in the Ward 1 City Council race. He's a longtime sustainable business consultant and teaches in the Green MBA program at the University of Oregon. Please join me in welcoming today's speakers, Bonnie Bettman McCormick and Joshua Scove. Bonnie, you're going to begin, if you don't mind.
Good afternoon and good evening to the listening audience out there in Radio Land. Thank you for this opportunity to talk about what we believe is one of the most significant improvements that can be made in city government. I am here to speak on behalf of our Citizens Initiative Petition Committee, who spent last summer gathering over 10,000 signatures from Eugene voters to put this measure on the ballot. Measure 20-283 asks voters, shall the city charter be amended to establish an office of an elected city auditor to independently audit city operations and activities? If you want to improve services, save money, and have transparent and accountable city government, then do our democracy and your pocketbook a favor and vote yes on ballot measure 20-283. Everybody, regardless of political affiliation, has a stake in how the city spends the public's money and whether there are effective checks and balances in place to protect public assets. We all realize that we will continue to be asked to support money measures to fund essential city services, and so it makes perfect sense that we would want and deserve unbiased assurance that resources are utilized judiciously and as promised. We need an independent elected auditor to accomplish that. The pivotal difference between ballot measure 20-283 for an independent elected auditor and the city's measure 20-287 for a council-appointed auditor is that the auditor in the city's measure is not independent. The council-appointed auditor's authority and roles are entirely conditioned on the approval and direction from the council majority. Every step their auditor takes must be sanctioned by city officials. The elected auditor is not controlled by the city council or manager, and all the authority needed to function independently is provided for in the measure's charter language. The independent elected auditor is accountable to the voters of the city. Even the circuit court judge had the city remove the word independent from the question that was on the city's ballot. Ballot measure 2283 guarantees taxpayers and ratepayers a vigorous and truly independent auditing office, regardless of turnover in the city council or the city manager's office. In many cities, audit work leads to enhanced service delivery as well as cost recovery and savings well beyond the auditor's office budget. Many independent auditor offices pay for themselves, saving up to $5 for every dollar invested. And this ballot measure doesn't raise taxes. Ballot measure 2283 preserves Eugene's current government structure. The council and city manager will not control the auditor, and in turn, the auditor has no policy making or administrative authority. Ballot Measure 2283 will authorize the elected auditor to audit every operation of city government in order to provide objective, accurate, and useful information about all city operations and public expenditures. All audit reports and schedules will be publicly available on the auditor's website and archived. The elected auditor's office is required to establish a whistleblower hotline to take and investigate anonymous tips from any and all sources, including city employees, who can be confident that their complaints remain confidential. According to the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, anonymous tips have proven to be the number one strategy for detecting and preventing fraud, waste, and illegal activity, which can lead to recovered costs and decreases the city's risk exposure. The city's measure does not have a whistleblower provision, and even if it did, no one would risk retaliation by reporting to the city about the city. The elected auditor will have far more accountability than any other city official, as follows. Auditors are career professionals, not career politicians. The auditor is a nonpartisan, full-time position requiring rigorous professional qualifications and experience. The auditor has to stand for election every 4 years and is subject to recall and can be removed from office for adjudicated incompetence or a conviction of an offense pertaining to the office. But most importantly, the auditor and the office are required to undergo regular audits and evaluations performed by nationally accredited professional auditing organizations, and those evaluations are publicly available. The auditor's office is also required to adhere to government auditing standards. And the auditor is accountable to you, the voters. And since all evaluations of the auditor's office and work is public, you will, for once, have the objective information you need to cast an informed vote. Attempting to politically influence an auditor by manipulating salaries and budgets is a very real issue in the government auditing profession. Richard Chambers, the former president and CEO of the International Institute of Internal Auditors, said, quote, "The professionals who audit federal, state, and local governments or other entities must cope daily with career-threatening political risks. In order to protect the elected auditor's office from political agendas and pressure from city officials, the budget of the office and the salary of the elected auditor is based on an objective metric outside the city officials' control. The auditor's salary will be a minimum of 70% of the averaged salaries of the eWeb general manager and the Eugene and Salem city managers. This means the auditor's salary can increase or decrease with turnover in those positions. Averaging the salary over three positions buffers the impact of any one position changing. The upside is an elected auditor with unconditional independence to produce unbiased audits free from political influence. When Eugene City Manager retires, the auditor's salary automatically will decrease because the new hire will receive a reduced salary. Reese was hired 10 years ago at $162,000. Council has increased his salary to $220,000. That's 31% in 10 years. And the auditor's salary can increase as well, as would be the case with the eWeb manager's recent raise. It is very important that the auditor's salary be on par with city department heads. Even so, it's still less than the city attorney whose salary is $177,000. Unlike the elected auditor, city employees do not have the added challenges that the elected auditor will have, like elections every 4 years and being subject to recall, and public evaluations. Instead, city administrators get guaranteed raises, cost of living increases, and their evaluations are not public. Even the council doesn't see those. The elected auditor's salary is also in line with other professionally qualified elected officials in Oregon, including DAs, judges, and sheriffs, who had base salaries in 2016 ranging from $151,000 to $187,000 based on figures from the compensation board. For example, Lane County DA, $173,000. Clackamas DA, $187,000. Marion County, $167,000. 2015 salary ranges for auditors nationally, which is Eugene's recruitment pool, range from $60,000 in Arkansas to $212,000 in Texas. Basically, salaries reflect a local regional context. The auditor's salary has to be consistent with his or her contemporaries, where he or she will work. Even if you are of the opinion that Eugene department heads, the city attorney, the DAs, and the judges, not to mention the city managers, are paid too much, the auditor still has to be able to work on a level playing field with the officials whose programs and departments she or he will be auditing. The staffing in the auditor's office is based on national benchmarks for a Eugene-sized city. It is appropriately scaled to ensure that they have the capacity, tools, and resources necessary to audit the full range of city activities and transactions. The office budget provides salaries for the elected auditor and three deputy auditors. The elected auditor's office budget is also based on an objective metric at 0.1% of the city's adopted budget, which would be $677,000 this year. This covers everything, including all salaries, credentialing, continuing education, and the remittance of the central services allocation. Also included will be contracts for independent legal counsel in cases where the city manager's attorney may have a conflict of interest. Compare this to the council-appointed police auditor, who reviews complaints and commendations regarding only sworn police employees. The police auditor reviews the closed complaint reports after the investigation has been completed by internal affairs. He does no financial or performance or any other kind of audit. His office budget is $550,000. Alternatively, the elected auditor's office will be engaged in a much broader scope of work encompassing all city operations, which requires financial, investigative, and technical expertise to perform all types of audits. In contrast, the city's measure 20287 for a council-appointed auditor is priced at $250,000. That funds one auditor, according to the city attorney. One auditor isn't a genuine attempt to provide oversight, but the smaller price tag is good optics for their campaign. Another drawback with a council-appointed auditor is that the council has the authority to define the parameters of each audit. Those parameters can be constrained to result in a predetermined outcome, and subsequently those reports can then be used to rationalize expenditures or projects wanted by the very officials who dictated the terms of the audit in the first place, in which case voters would be paying for $250,000 for an overpriced public relations position. Alternatively, when there is a completely independent auditor whose objectivity is trusted by the voting public, they serve. Their audits can help garner support for justifiably needed revenue or projects because the information is unbiased and people know it. An auditor that is council appointed gives the public no added benefit for the added cost, as it will replicate the city's current oversight, which is a council appointed city manager who provides oversight without any meaningful checks or balances. That's a situation of the city auditing itself. The city's measure for a council appointed auditor keeps the paradigm of the city auditing itself intact. In reality, all the rhetoric about fatal flaws is fatally flawed because opponents, including city officials, wouldn't support a truly independent auditor at any cost. Their real objection is the auditor's independence. They don't want an auditor unless they have complete control over the auditor's activities, especially looking at the books. As we see with ballot measure 2287, it is quick and easy for the council to refer a measure to the ballot. They could have done so any time in the last 16 years since this office was first proposed. Council has the authority to tell the manager to establish an auditor's office, and they also have the authority to convene a citizen review board at any time without an election. If opponents manage to defeat ballot measure 2283, be assured There will never be a city auditor with any objectivity or independence. This election isn't going to play out the way the RG thinks it will, that if both measures are voted down, then the council will ride in on a white horse and save us from themselves. No, if they are both voted down, our window of opportunity for accountability and transparency is closed. If ballot measure 2283 for the independent elected auditor is approved and subsequently issues are identified, then the auditor will do what independent elected auditors do, work with the city council to improve the office and solve problems. That is just what Portland's elected auditor did. She worked with the commission to achieve consensus on a slate of charter amendments to refine the auditor's role, and with a unanimous support from the commission, the measures were approved by voters. This is true in many other cities with elected auditors like Oakland, Berkeley, Denver, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I thank you very much for your attention, and I look forward to your questions, and I urge you to please vote yes on ballot measure 20-283 and no on ballot measure 20-287. Thank you.
Good afternoon to everyone here at City Club, and thank you to City Club for putting on this program, and of course, thank you to everyone in the listening audience on the radio. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to speak with engaged citizens on important issues, and I don't take it for granted. I'm hoping everyone will walk away with the following 3 points from me. I am in favor of an independent and effective performance auditor. 283 is deeply flawed, and 287 fixes those flaws, and it means that it's the best option for advancing government accountability and transparency. Let me give some background and details and some history. Now, as many of you know, I ran for city council in 2016, and I campaigned in part on this idea of a performance auditor. Now, of course, it wasn't my idea. I was just drawing on the work by the Citizens Charter Review Committee and its report back in 2002. And there were other candidates in 2016 saying the same thing, such as Mayor Venice and two of my city council opponents. So today's discussion for me is not about whether we should have an auditor. Rather, it's about how best to do it. And that's the question before voters as well. Not whether the basic idea is a good one. I think we all want more accountability and transparency and especially effectiveness from government. But instead, the question is how exactly to pursue that. So measure 283's problems for me are in three big categories, and 287 fixes these. So I'll start with the problems with 283 and then move to the strengths of 287. So the three big categories where 283 is flawed: it's expensive, it's unaccountable, and it's ineffective. Let me go through those. So expensive. The salary is unreasonable. The reason you heard so much about that is there is a lot to try to defend, and it isn't particularly defensible. 283 would make this measure not just expensive, but truly overpriced. The auditor would be one of the highest paid politicians in the state, making more than the Attorney General, more than the Secretary of State, more than the governor. And in fact, even the Portland elected auditor, often cited as a model here, makes only two-thirds as much as this position. I ask you to think about whether that's reasonable. It doesn't seem so to me. More problematic, the salary wouldn't even totally be set by the city. The defense here is objective external standards, but let's be clear, we wouldn't even have control over the salary of the auditor. The eWeb Board and the Salem City Council make two-thirds of that decision. That's the formula in the measure. You heard it stated earlier. Also, the budget is too high, not in line with the level of expenditure we see in other cities at our scale. So 283 is really expensive. Now, that is enough for some people, but it's not enough for me. I think it has to be worse than just expensive. Unfortunately, the measure is also unaccountable and ineffective. Let me go through those. So unaccountable. There is no citizen advisory committee. This is a fundamental flaw, a fundamental undemocratic flaw, and it diverges from what is common with elected and appointed auditors in many cities and counties around the country. Citizen advisory committees are standard practice for a reason. They are an important place for having discussions in the open about the priorities that government sets. Without this, 283 is undemocratic and is less accountable and less transparent. For me, that's a deal killer. But there's more. The elected auditor is not necessarily independent. If you take nothing else from my talk today, I hope you will hear that independence and elected are not the same thing. And you don't have to listen to me. Let's listen to the Government Accountability Office, the U.S. body that sets standards for public accounting. There's a long section in the Yellow Book, the description of how to do public auditing on independence. Nowhere does it say that an elected auditor is preferable. Nowhere does it say that being an elected auditor ensures independence. This person would have to campaign. They would have to raise campaign funds, and that means this person would be no more or less independent than any other politician. That might sound bad to some people. But it's important to say this person is a politician. Doesn't mean the person doesn't have some professional standing and background, but the person is a politician. Independence is complex, and we'll get into it more as we go. Finally, under unaccountable, I would put the absence of a residency requirement, which you didn't hear about. That's right, the person doesn't even have to live here. Now, this is just goofy. We have this requirement for the city manager, for executive staff, for the mayor, and for a city council. And there's a reason for that. Top elected officials to live here. They should have that basic commitment to our community because they are making decisions that affect us. Living where you are making decisions about your neighbors is a form of accountability, and that too is missing from Measure 283. Finally, ineffective. So if expensive and unaccountable are not enough, let's do ineffective. In general, an auditor of any kind, elected or appointed, would have no power to implement any recommendations, and you heard that in another form before. But worse, an elected auditor under 283 would have no clear connection to city council priorities, and that means no connection to the people with the power to implement. An auditor could do important reports and analysis, and shining a light on a problem is good, but it's crucially important to ask how implementation would take place, and that would require mayor and council. And finally, as you consider what kind of auditor you want, think about whether you want more of a professional or more of a politician. Someone who has to be focused on campaigning and fundraising every 4 years, or someone who is strictly a career professional auditor. That's why we have appointed auditors in many places. And I'll talk more about this in a bit because it's fundamental to our system of government and understanding which is more appropriate. So those are all the problems with 283. What does 287 do? It fixes all of these problems. There's a citizen oversight committee to ensure regular public input into the priorities of a professional auditor. There's a reasonable budget scaled to our city budget and our community. There's no requirement for an overpriced salary. And there's a residency requirement, like for all other top officials. And it's in line with our form of government. That is an accountable and effective auditor. Unsurprisingly, this is what was recommended by the 2002 Citizens Charter Review Committee in its report. Now, why are there so many flaws in 283? The absence of a residency requirement, the lack of citizen oversight, being overpriced. Why are there so many? I want to be clear, I'm not questioning the intentions of the petitioners. In fact, I can credibly say, I think, as someone who campaigned in favor of an auditor, I share their intentions. I share their goals of more efficient and effective government, of better accountability and transparency. But I do believe this is what happens when you try to develop something with no public input. You get a poorly written measure with a lot of flaws. And when you try to do it with a small group of like-minded people instead of vetting it in public and getting different perspectives and feedback, you get the details wrong. And this is about the details. They developed 283 behind closed doors, and they got the details wrong. To really make that point, let me emphasize, this would go in our city charter. The charter is like our city's constitution, and 283 would be like a poorly drafted constitutional amendment. That is not easy to fix. 287 would also go on the constitution, but it has none of those flaws, and it will deliver the benefits of a performance auditor. A final note about accountability and our form of government. 283 proponents often talk about auditing council and mayor and the city manager. This is a huge misunderstanding. With council and the mayor, there is nothing to audit the way a performance auditor works. They have no budget, they have no staff, and they do no management of city departments and programs. Those are the things that a performance auditor is supposed to audit. But what we need is a tool to direct at the city manager and the apparatus of government. And council and the mayor need that tool. They need that ability to put city government under the microscope and find exactly the inefficiencies and the ineffectiveness that we all want to root out. 287 finally gives us a chance to vote on that proposal that we developed back in 2002. It gives the tool to city council and to the mayor to make government more effective. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't hold city council and the mayor effective or accountable. Of course we need to do that, but we have a tool for that, and that's called elections. You already have elected officials. When I campaigned, I heard a lot of different things that people wanted, and they definitely wanted more efficient and effective and transparent and accountable government. Not one person said to me, what I really want is another elected official. What I really need, what I think the community needs, is another politician. I never heard that. So I think it's worth being clear about the way our form of government works here and how to make it work better. A quick note on endorsements. I think 287 stands on its merits, but it's really important to see how people and organizations across the political spectrum have either said no on 283 or yes on 287 or both. Former Mayor Kitty Piercy and prominent Republican Jack Roberts have both endorsed 287. Both the Chamber of Commerce and two unions have said no on 283. And the Nonpartisan League of Women Voters, perhaps the most respected organization in our community, also recommends a no on 283. Again, voters have a chance to get the proposal that the community developed in 2002 for an effective, independent auditor appointed by City Council. Please vote no on 283 and yes on 287. I'll bank the remainder of my time. Thank you.
I hope you're taking an opportunity to write questions. And Sandra, would you like to speak to the speaker?
Thank you. I'm Sandra Bishop, City Club President. We hope you're enjoying today's program. Eugene, City Auditor, independent and elected by the people or appointed by the City Council. City Club is a nonprofit organization. Support for City Club is provided by our members and supporters. We'd like to thank some of our supporters today: Network Charter Schools, Oregon Country Fair, Sacred Earth Botanicals, University of Oregon Government and Community Relations, and our new diamond sponsor, Kaiser Permanente, and we have their banner over here in the corner. Special thank you to them for joining us. And we'd like to thank our in-kind sponsors, University of Oregon Academic Extension, Dot Dotson's Photography, KRVM 91.9 Radio, and a special thanks to PacInfo and Simplified Computing LLC and KLCC Radio. City Club programs are broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 at 6:30 p.m. on Mondays following the Friday show program. And now I'd like to turn the program back over to Tiffany Eckert for our Q&A period. Thank you.
This question was touched upon, but and each of you will get a minute to respond. Please step up to that mic and answer. We'll start with you, Bonnie. Is there any reason the independent elected auditor could not establish a citizen advisory or oversight group?
There is no prohibition in the charter amendment for establishing an oversight group. In most cities that have those, usually it's because the auditor is legislatively appointed and the citizen group is supposed to act as a buffer to try to ward off the political agendas of the appointing body. But because the independence was vested in the auditor via the charter in our measure, it wasn't necessary. We considered it. It can be done. On the other hand, it's really a red herring because the City Council has the authority to appoint citizen advisory committees, and they have at least 12 of them right now. So they certainly could do that, and also the elected auditor has the ability to convene one also.
Thank you for the question. I think it misses the point a little bit to say that, you know, oh, it could happen. It's not in there. And remember, this is one of many details that they got wrong. So you have to ask yourself whether, you know, oh, it's sure it could happen is enough, because it's getting written into our city charter. It's important to say that we actually have rules around some of these things in other settings. So, for example, the state requires that a city have a budget committee. Okay, so these things get anticipated and put into the rules. So it's not in the rules, and that's a problem. It's, I think, not a reasonable defense to say that, you know, this is, you know, it's only there in other places to ward off the agenda of elected officials when we're talking about, under 283, an elected official. So that doesn't make any sense at all. There needs to be some way to have conversations about the priorities that the that an auditor engages in, the auditor sets, in public.
Thank you. Next question. Is there money in the budget to transport the top three candidates for in-person interviews?
In the case of an appointed auditor?
In the case of an appointed auditor. We would be talking about interviewing, so that would not be an okay. elected official.
So I think that's a good question. it's let's see. Let me focus on something a little bit bigger. Yeah, sure, there's a hiring process for an appointed auditor, but let's be clear about this. A hiring process isn't particularly big relative to the scale that we're talking about, especially for 283, which is almost $700,000 every single year. You know, you heard before something that's a little disingenuous, that it doesn't raise taxes. But let's be honest, of course it raises taxes, because it takes money away from the general fund. If you're taking money away, then either you're raising taxes or you're decreasing services, and that's essentially the same thing. So this is expensive. Saying it doesn't raise taxes doesn't keep 283 from being expensive. 287 has a minimum expenditure associated with it of $250,000, and you heard that. But you heard it talked about as if it could only ever be $250,000. If we're going to say that we can make changes, council could, of course, decide to raise the budget as well.
Yes, that question did have a bit of a slant, because if it's an elected official, then there would be no in-person interview. So, next question says, police chief, no residency. Why do you think an auditor should live here? Would you stand, please, Bonnie?
I'll address the residency issue. The police auditor and the municipal judge, both are council-appointed, highly paid administrators, and they have no residency requirement. Other elected judges in Oregon have no residency requirement. For instance, Multnomah County and Ashland. 99.99% of city employees do not have a residency requirement. The city council does, the mayor does, and then the department heads and the city manager, that's it. You know, there could be a healthy benefit to saying, why can't the auditor live in Springfield or Creswell? And because I'm not sure I would want the auditor, who's responsible for objectively auditing and overseeing department heads, socializing on a regular basis or sharing a sports team with their kids. So thank you, I'm out of time.
I didn't get it in my intro, but I have two kids as well. Sometimes they're on sports teams. Actually, you get a lot of business done at those informal settings. Aside from that, which sounds like a joke, but really isn't, actually, no, you do want the person to be a resident. That's why we have this requirement for the mayor, city council, the city manager, and executive staff. As I said before, it's a commitment to the community. You should be here to do those things. And so it's to say 99.99%, which, by the way, isn't right, because then there'd be less than one person of our city employees who have to live here. That's totally disingenuous. We have lots of city employees But we're talking about very special employees here. We're talking about people who have real responsibility for the community. They should live here and show that basic commitment. And that residency requirement is common. If you're going to say that about the elected auditor, why don't you say that about all of city council? Maybe they don't need to live here either. I don't think anyone would agree with that. The missing residency requirement is a problem in itself, and it's also another sign of sloppiness in the measure.
Thank you. Again, to just remind, we're hearing from Bonnie Bettman-McCornack and Joshua Scove on the issue of a Eugene City Auditor. This is a kind of common question. City Hall and Comcast windfall, quote, unquote, $17 million attempted end run. How can citizens trust the council / manager without an independent auditor? Sort of rhetorical, but at the same time, we're looking at the kinds of issues that have come up. So, Bonnie, would you like to take this?
Well, I'm glad somebody brought up the Comcast settlement. It was over $19 million, and they did spend some of it. It's also over $1 million a year in ongoing funding. Basically, what the council did, the budget committee and the manager, is they put it in a reserve. Having been on the budget committee for 9 years and actually having read budgets, the budget committee really looks at only a very, very small amount of the budget, maybe $1.5 million out of $677 million. And then what happens come December when they do the supplemental budget, all the money that wasn't on the table, usually in the neighborhood of $5 million, comes up and they look for places to stuff it. And so in terms of whether or not this measure raises taxes, the reason it won't raise taxes is because we've had, myself and all the former city councilors and city managers that have endorsed this measure, have had a front row seat to the budget process. And we know there's plenty of money in the budget to fund an auditor for the next 20 years.
So it's true that the Comcast settlement came before the supplemental budget, but almost everything else that was said there was misleading or wrong. It was $18.75 million, and I was on the budget committee at the time, as I am now, and actually I led a revolt against the initial allocation. I want to point out, all eight citizen budget committee members, not the councilors, but the citizen members, and all eight former budget committee members all spoke out against the move that was attempted by the city manager, and city council actually listened and didn't just allocate all of that money to the city hall capital fund. Now that's a bunch of weeds, but what's the key point here? The key point is that actually we had a budget committee. We had the citizens advisory committee equivalent for the city budget, and the only reason that that sneaky decision by the city manager, which ultimately was changed, actually got reversed and altered by city council was exactly because we had that aired in the open. We had an open discussion about that money. So I think this is a great example of where you desperately need a citizens advisory body that can air these things.
Thank you. I believe this was addressed for Mr. Scove, but I think each of you can talk to this. Why do you think two former councilors, that would be city councilors, believe an extra measure of independence is necessary?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I have tremendous respect for the service of the people who have worked on Measure 283. It's not an easy job to put something like this together, and it's a lot of work gathering all those signatures. I've gone door to door myself, and I really applaud those efforts. I'm not going to sort of guess or second guess the intentions of other people, except to say that I think I share them at a basic level. I want more transparent and accountable government, and I want it to be effective. I think the many flaws in 283 are the reason I'm so concerned about it, and because 287 fixes that, that's why I'm here today. But again, I mean, for voters thinking about this, this is not about whether an auditor is a good idea. This is about how to do it. This is about the details. And 283 has way too many flaws to be put into our city charter. I really encourage people to vote for 287 because it will deliver exactly the benefits that you hear from the proponents of 283 as well.
Well, it's actually not just two former city councilors that endorse an independent elected auditor. I think it's about seven. So we have two current city councilors, we have seven former city councilors, we have a former city manager, a former U.S. congressman, a current county commissioner, a former county commissioner, a former eWeb board member, and we also have the former state auditor, Gary Blackmer, who was the elected auditor for Multnomah County for 2 terms, elected auditor for Portland for 3 terms, and then was appointed as state auditor by Kate Brown until he retired. He has endorsed our measure, and he also helped us write it.
Bonnie, stay there, would you? I have another question for you. If the elected auditor measure is approved, the timeline for the election will be quite short. Have you or other supporters of the measure been recruiting possible candidates? And if so, how many do you expect will run?
We've been so busy, we haven't been recruiting candidates, but we're very reassured because of, we did it in our research, we talked to auditors all over the country. And so there's an awareness out there in the auditing, the professional auditing community of what Eugene is doing. And it's a very attractive component for auditors because finally they will have the independence that they need, and so it's an attractive position, and people out there in the auditing community are talking about it. Did I get the question? Oh, yes. Yeah, so no, we're not looking for candidates. By the way, right now, Multnomah County has an elected auditor, and they have a campaign going. They have 3 awesome candidates, one who used to be a journalist, an investigative journalist, that Gary Blackmer hired into the state audit department and then trained and subsequently got his certification. And there's a very vibrant campaign going on up there.
Thank you. Josh, would you like to follow up?
Yeah, just a few comments related to this. Again, the Multnomah County and the Portland, City of Portland elected auditors are for a different kind of government. That's where you don't just have elected councilors and commissioners, but where they actually have management jobs and there's something to audit and you actually need, it's totally reasonable to have an elected auditor in that position. That's not the case here, as I said before. So again, you're hearing a lot of mixing and matching and cherry picking from different places, and it's not really appropriate. I'm sure that there's awareness in the profession of this position because of its salary and lack of accountability. It sounds like a great job. And pretty easy, but I just want to point out, like, this is not about whether we're going to draw someone or not. This is yet another flaw and another piece of sloppiness. What's not alluded to here is what the election dynamics would be for November. The way this is written, we could have 3, 4, 5, 10 candidates in November, and the one who gets the most votes will be elected. It doesn't have to be a majority. That's the way this has been written. And that's a huge flaw in this. But again, it's one of many flaws that we'd be putting in the charter.
Thank you. I have a question that I haven't heard addressed. I did hear one of you mention that it could be that neither of these measures pass. That's a vote no on either. What fail-safes are there to ensure that there isn't a yes on both?
I will answer that question, but first I want to say about the first election, that was a compromise because the city kind of dragged its feet getting into court over the appeals of the ballot title. And so our timeline was to be voting on an auditor now and having had this election in November. So that timing is only applicable to the very first election. And then the auditor will take office with the counselors who were voted for in the primary. And it's not unprecedented. The school district elects their board members that way. In terms of the yes, people, if they make the mistake of voting yes on both measures, then and this is included in the language of the 2287 city measure, what will happen is the measure which gets the most yes votes will win. And that is the tragedy of the council moving forward with putting an additional measure on the ballot and the attempt to confuse the voters, because mostly when people are confused, they just vote no.
Well, and I'm here today to help deal with potential confusion. I don't think it's a tragedy that City Council put this on the ballot. I actually think it's the City Council's responsibility. City Code requires that when something makes it to the ballot through a petition, that it get reviewed and that it's up to the Council to offer an alternative. And they've offered a much better alternative due to a whole bunch of public input. So let's be clear, that's the democratic process in action. That's not some sort of crazy move by City Council. That's listening to people and having open discussion about it. You heard earlier some scare tactics that nothing will happen if neither of these passes. Look, nothing will happen anywhere at the local, state, or federal level if we don't all stay engaged in politics, if we don't all stay engaged in decision-making in our community. An auditor of any kind is not some sort of silver bullet. And trying to write an extra extreme measure that has all these other flaws, you're still not going to end up with a silver bullet. We all have to stay engaged. But if you're concerned about the priorities of City Council, you're not going to fix them with an auditor. Elect different city councilors. That's the solution. So stay engaged.
Thank you. Is there an advantage in having an elected auditor over a selected auditor to get more police officers as per budget committee request? Could either of you speak to that, or is that out of your...
That's pretty specific.
It is very specific.
We can talk about it generally, but...
Next question. You both touched on this, but again, just to be clear, many folks in this audience are wondering, where is the money coming from for the auditor? I heard you, Bonnie, but I'd like to just reiterate, is it out of current budget?
Well, it could easily be out of current budget. The city has a habit of carrying vacancies on the budget year after year. One year when we were trying to fund police officers, when I was on the budget committee, we discovered that there were 100 vacant positions that had been carried year after year. That's over $1 million. That is accounted for in the budget, but those positions are not filled, and therefore that money is just sitting there for the city manager to do with as they please. There is plenty of money in the budget, but there is also, I mentioned essential services allocation that the auditor's office would have to pay back to the city manager's office, and that basically most departments will pay that provides for their utilities, their office furnishings, their equipment, their IT services, et cetera, et cetera. So in some places where they have auditors, what they do is they have a similar central services allocation type thing where each department that is auditable will be contributing back into a budget so that it will help defray the costs of the auditors.
Thank you.
In this case, you're going to have to pay one way or another, because you've got the $250,000 auditor, which is an independent, or you can pay a little more.
Thank
and
you, Bonnie.
Get your money's worth.
Time up. Thanks.
Let me take a few of my seconds on this question just to point out you're continuing to hear the combination of elected with independent. And again, that's not true. That's not in public auditing standards. It shouldn't be there. It shouldn't have been in the introduction or the sort of the title of today's talk. I'm going to be clear about that. You can get independence in either case. I am surprised as a budget committee member to learn that there is plenty of money lying around all over the place, like little bags of gold everywhere. That's certainly not my impression. For all sorts of structural reasons that won't fit in 30 seconds, I'll just say we actually have a tough situation with our budget and a tougher one coming over the next few years. We have already whittled down the number of employees at the city relative to population to its lowest level in a couple of decades, and that's really hard work. So this will come at some expense, and so the reason I led with expensive is it's a big deal. We don't have a lot of fat to trim, and trying to have a budget that is extravagant is a bad strategy.
Thank you. Joshua Scove, if you would, it's time for closing statements. And if you would like to go ahead and do that, you have 2 minutes.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, again, for being here, and thanks to the folks listening on the radio, and again, to City Club. Again, this is not about whether we should have an auditor. It's about how best to do it. And we and other voters want accountability and transparency and effectiveness from government. So the question is how to pursue that. 283 is overpriced, unaccountable, and ineffective. 287 fixes all of these flaws. The selection, the residency, the termination. I encourage you to read the measure and see that. I can't read it all even in 2 minutes. But just to highlight a couple of things, don't forget the residency requirement, like for other top officials. Again, the salary, instead of baking into our city charter an overpriced salary and an unreasonable budget, this is scaled more appropriately to our community, and it has really key oversight and effectiveness mechanisms. It's both part of the, it has the Citizen Advisory Committee automatically, not just hoped for, and it's in line with our form of government. That's an accountable and effective auditor. Now, again, you all, like me, want to hold government accountable. And I'll be frank, I'm really frustrated with a lot of decisions and a lot of inaction by city council. And people know this if they've seen me in like my volunteer roles at the city, at LTD, and other places, and also coming and talking to city council. But an expensive elected auditor doesn't fix that. It doesn't fix those decisions. 287 gives a tool to elected officials to be more effective. Again, at the heart of 283 is this misunderstanding about whom we need to hold accountable and how. Proponents of 283, I think, deliberately confuse these regularly. On the one hand, you have elected officials, and we need to hold them accountable, and we do that at the ballot box. And if you don't think that's working, then testify at a council meeting, talk to your city councilor, or recruit other candidates. 287 is a tool for holding the city manager and the apparatus of city government effective, and I encourage you to vote for it. Vote for 287. Please vote no on 283.
Thank you
for your time.
Thank you. Bonnie Bettman McCormack, closing statement.
Thank you very much for your time and your attention. I can't believe I forgot to mention City Hall and how much money has been wasted chasing that plan down the rabbit hole. But everybody knows about that, and it's been millions and millions of dollars wasted. Don't let the opponents about Measure 2283 scare you into voting against your own best interest. Please vote yes on ballot Measure 20283 for an independent elected auditor, and no on 20287, the council-appointed auditor. Ballots will be mailed April 26th. And as Election Day approaches, expect an onslaught of spendy ads and mailings from the opponents of an independent auditor. We don't have big money, and we definitely don't have the backing of Eugene's political and economic elite. So we are getting our message out by walking neighborhoods and knocking on doors. We've had people out there since February. We're talking to as many people as we can, and we would like to talk to you. So please join us. We are hosting a town hall meeting at Harris Hall on April 18th at 7 p.m. Gary Blackmer will talk about the nuts and bolts of auditing, and he always has lots of anecdotes from his 30-year-long auditing career. As you know, he was previously elected auditors in a number of places and then the appointed auditor for the state, but he was also the past president of the Association of Local Government Auditors. Full disclosure, Gary Blackmer endorsed our measure. The town hall is free and open to everyone, so please bring your questions. And please vote yes for an independent elected auditor. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bonnie Bettman McCormack and Joshua Scove. We appreciate your time here. That does conclude today's City Club Community Forum. I'm Tiffany Eckert with KLCC, and thank you. I think Sandra has a few announcements.
Thank you. I'm Sandra Bishop, City Club President. Before we officially thank our speakers today, there are a couple of announcements. Thank you to public radio station KLCC 89.7 for airing City Club programs on Monday at 6:30 p.m. following this Friday programs. And thank you to Community Television of Lane County, Cable, Channel 29 for televising recent City Club programs. More details and information about future programs can be found online at the City Club's website, cityclubofeugene.org. And I'd like to thank our moderator, Tiffany Eckert from KLCC Radio, and today's speakers, Josh Scove and Bonnie Bettman McCormack. Thank you so much. That concludes today's program.